Welcome to the Trifecta, a horse racing podcast featuring handicap picks by Mike from MHJ Picks, recaps of selected races, and thoughts on the news in the world of thoroughbred horse racing. Thanks for checking out the first ever episode of the Trifecta, a horse racing podcast. This is my first foray into the world of podcasts. My name is Mike from MHJ Picks. It's a website that I run offering free selections and handicap picks to various horse racing circuits throughout the year. Sound quality is probably going to be a little bit weak right now as I'm just getting used to this format. Maybe upgrade the technology as things go, if this can take off. But, you know, just want to give it a shot. I like trying new things. So I named this podcast the Trifecta because I want to talk about three things in every podcast. One, I want to give out some of my picks. Two, I want to talk about the picks that I've given out and see how they did. And three, just talk about things that are happening in the world of horse racing. Not going to do it in any particular order. On any given day, so you could call it a trifecta box because you never know what order it's going to come in. Today's first segment is going to be about recent news, and that's going to be the Kentucky Derby, because that's a huge event, obviously, that is on the forefront of everyone's mind right now. Authentic ran probably the race of his lifetime to get things done. A lot of people hating on him, a lot of people hating on Bob Baffert. You know, I understand some of that, but at the same time, you know, let him be a champion. The horse went out, did what he was asked, ran as hard as he could, changed the lead, and kept pushing towards the end as he was getting challenged by Tiz the Law. Beautiful ride by Johnny V. Got him out fast to clear, kept some of that pace going to kind of show him what he was made of, and slowed it down on the front end, didn't get a huge challenge. Tiz the Law was exactly where he wanted to be, and just in the stretch when it looked like he was going to make his move, he could not get past. And that says a lot about Authentic, says a lot about the training for Authentic. You know, so I don't take anything away negative from that for Authentic. A lot of people say obviously the horse had to have been juiced, because when he ran the Haskell, it looked like he was tired at the end. And maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. You know, we've heard different things. But one thing that I did notice is the work patterns leading up to the Derby were definitely improving his stamina. You know, they were increasing the length, the speed of those. So, you know, you could argue that it was a heck of a training job done by Bob Baffert to make this happen for Authentic. You know, the horse acted a little crazy afterwards. You know, he just ran the race of his lifetime. He could have still been pumped up. You know, maybe it'll come out something was up. But until then, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the animal, to the trainer, to the jockey, that they made the right call, did the right thing, and I got a great win. One other horse that I wanted to talk about in there was Mr. Big News. I think the move he made coming around the stretch was just fantastic. For a minute there, it looked like he could blow right by both of them. Didn't happen for him, but I think that horse was much underrated by myself and pretty much everybody that discounted this horse as not really even having a shot to even hit the board. So, you know, it blew up the tote. Tiz the Law was my first choice, and Authentic was my second choice. So, you know, I was right there with the top two. You know, I thought Tiz the Law was going to do exactly what he did, but be able to pass in the stretch, and he just couldn't. No fault to the horse, to Manny Franco. Just a great effort. By the Kentucky Derby champion, Authentic. Simple as that, folks. The other thing that has surfaced is the whole deal with My Racehorse. A lot of people out there making fun of owners of shares of Authentic saying, well, all you're doing is, you know, pretending to own a racehorse. You're not really getting anything out of it. But I think what people fail to understand about my racehorse or any of these partnerships is it's offering folks who will likely never have a chance at true ownership some of that experience. And to fault them for that and make fun of them for that, you know, I just don't get it. You know, maybe you're mad because you lost some money and you got to take it out on somebody. That's just not my style. I say let them have their happiness, let them enjoy it. They didn't invest $200 thinking they were going to make a lot of money. They invested $200 to have a vested interest in the event other than the simple wager. You know, I think it caused a lot of excitement for people to be able to say they were part of it. You know, so give them their moment. Let them have their fun. There's no need for everything to be constantly criticized. That's kind of what happens on social media, of course, but you know, that's going to end up being the downfall of a lot of people, I think. You know, I think we need to do a better job overall of staying positive and keeping things in the right light, working with each other, congratulating each other, rather than this, you know, teasing people who are doing something that they think is fun, you know, just because you're not a part of it. So that's just my thoughts on that. I do not own my racehorse share in Authentic, but I think it's a cool opportunity. Switching gears here, I wanted to talk a little bit about the sharing of picks and talking about the picks I've made as the second part of the podcast. There's not really anything to go over right now as this is the first podcast, but I would invite you to check out mhjpicks.com or follow me on Twitter at mhjpicks to get picks. I usually post A and B, must-use contenders and horses to consider. When I have an appropriate amount of time, I will give some comments on the race to give you a little insight into why I feel a certain way. I do this for free. I love the sport. I grew up watching it with my dad and enjoying the solving of the puzzles. So I'm not in this to make it a career. I'm just in it for the fun, and I'm an educator by nature, so is there a way for me to help people and teach a few things, you know, more power to it. That's why I do what I do. If you don't like the way I make my picks, well, then you got some to throw out. You can say, hey, Mike likes this guy, that's a throw out for me. Works both ways. I'm not always right. I think I do pretty good. But, you know, it's a game that involves a lot of things, and we can't always be right. So just keep that in mind. But each episode, I will talk about the picks I made in the previous episode and see how they went. All right, so let's get into some picks. I'm going to be talking about Kentucky Downs on their September 9th card. Looking at race one, nobody really jumped out for me here. In this race, I would give the edge to number 8-4 K's. Seems to have been running against better horses. Obviously has Wesley Ward and Irad Ortiz, not a bad combo. Just looks like the horse in this pretty weak field. Pretty open race when you really think about it. Race number two, I do like number two Sniper Kitten for Maker and Gaffleone. It's 7 furlongs. That weird J-shape race they have. I think there's some opportunities here for some other ones. Knight's Key kind of has some back class, has done some good things, has won 2 in a row, so that's always something to look at. The horse is hot, running well, has never won more than 2 in a row, so that's something you can think about too. Possible long shot, I call them torpedoes. Anything in the morning line of 10-1 or greater, I call a torpedo. Yamato, the four horse for Murat Sankal with Julian Leperu. This horse has made pretty significant jumps in buyer speeds each of his 3 races. That's not to say he'll keep doing that, but there's a possibility he could. Switching the turf last out at Ellis Park, he set the pace and ran a fantastic race. Right now, sitting at 30-1, looks like a pretty decent opportunity at a value play there. Third race is a maiden special weight going 6.5 furlongs. You know, the purses here at Kentucky Downs are phenomenal. So you get a lot of good horses, but you also get a lot of horses that are just local that don't really have much of a shot, you know, but sometimes you can pull it off. I think number 12, Royal Approval, for Wesley Ward. Obviously, they think this horse has something. Took him out to Ascot. Was not even close. But in the previous race, had a pretty decent effort to run second at Gulfstream. So I think he is an obvious, logical one here. One I like here, a bit of a price, a Torpedo number 7, Bluegrass Bell, from Mark Cassie and Brian Hernandez. Should improve, especially with a little bit of distance. I think it's going to help this horse a great deal to have that distance. So definitely give a look to number 7, Bluegrass Bell, to at least hit the board. And I think she's got a good shot at the win. Moving on to race number 4, we have a 6.5 furlong allowance race. I'm looking at number 7, Stand Up, for Robert Falcone, with Joel Rosario in the mount, coming off of a win and a $50,000 starter allowance at Saratoga. Good looking race, last out, came from behind, got some good late speed. I think he is definitely one. Smile Brian will take some money, may even end up as a favorite with Grand Motion and Jose Ortiz. Horse looks good. Potential Torpedo here, I would go with number 11, Uncapped. Brandon Walsh, Tyler Gaffleone. Gaffleone showed he can run this course on opening day with a few wins. This horse, you know, may be questionable class level here, but, you know, certainly has a shot to get something done, as he has been on the course before and ran a pretty good effort, third place. A while back, it was actually a G3 race, and he hit the board at 85-1. So, you know, don't think you're going to get an 85-1, but you should have some good odds. Looking at race number 5, another maiden special weight. These are always tough here at Kentucky Downs. I think a good shot is the Torpedo number 9, USS Lexington, for Larry Jones. Adam Bashiza gets the mount again. He's ridden this horse. This will be his 6th time. Hopefully he's learning the tricks with him. This horse is out of Warfront. It's a long race. I think he can manage the distance. I think he's got a shot here at a good price. The obvious favorite will be number 11 for Grand Motion and John Velasquez. Front-running type horse. Questionable distance. Can he last based on a couple of previous efforts? Sounds a little bit familiar with Johnny V in the mount. So I think he's going to take a lot of money. You know, I think he's a logical play as well. Looking at race 6, an AOC race. Pretty open race, I think. I'm going to look at number 6, Whimsical Muse, Thomas Amos, and Florent Giroux. This is a quality horse who's had some nice races, gets an upgrade with the jockey. So I think he's got a shot, as does number 9, Originator, for Ian Wilkes. I think they are the two most logical here in the 6th. Race number 7. Got another maiden special weight race here. I do like another Torpedo, number 7, Soviet. Ben Colebrook has this horse that formerly trained by Pletcher, moved over to Colebrook with Flavian Pratt on the mount. This horse is getting the turf, which I think is something he wants, and I think he'll do very well on the turf. But this is a race prime for chaos. Anything can happen here. I think it's pretty wide open. Some other logicals look to be number 8, Red Storm Risen, for Grand Motion. Number 5, Ghost Fighter. $500,000 purchase on Ghost Fighter. So, you know, there's got to be something there. number 11 Fugitive. So there's a lot of good horses here in this race. So anything could happen. Races like that, I tend to prefer to go for a price. Race number 8, it's allowance optional claimer. You've got a huge dropper in Marzo, who's been running graded 1, graded 2 races, and hasn't been ultra competitive, but was in some grade 3 races. Even won a grade 3 race at Keeneland last year. So something could be going on with this horse. He eased his last race. But if this horse is in any kind of shape, while it's a decent field, he should get it done against these. Number 3 is one at a nice price that could be a sneaky play. Busy Channel, Florent Giroux for Larry Raffelli. This guy, you know, won an optional claimer on turf at Arlington last out. Has kind of run, you know, all over the place. So has two races here at Kentucky Downs. Hasn't won, but he finished second and third and ran pretty well. So definitely one to consider there. Race number 9, we've got the Tappet Stakes, and we don't even have a Tappet running in this race, which I found pretty interesting. I think number 11, Big Score, is up for a big race. I think coming off that win from the optional claiming race, has some back class, is primed to have a good race. Number 3, Hawkish, is a solid horse. It's going to need a little help here, but he can definitely surprise at a nice price, 10-1 on the morning line. Number 8 is another one, Hembry, who's just kind of always seems to be there. So count on him being in the money, could sneak one in. If you're looking for a real long shot, look at Ramsey Solution. For Wesley Ward, he could be a nice price and is an improving horse. Overall, I think number 11 is primed to go, but, you know, fairly open race. And in our finale at Kentucky Downs, a mile and 5/16. So another monster race here. You know, this one is pretty taxing on these horses. I look to number 7, Sursum Corda, for Ian Wilkes out of Constitution with Julian Leperoux on the mount, coming off the maiden win. Has improved buyer speed figure each race. Has won at a similar distance. I think he's very logical and a solid play here. Number 8, Sister Kitten, for Maker and Jose Ortiz. Definitely one you want to look at as well. You know, I think a step under number 7. Number 11, Cambaliza, for Arnold Delcour. James Grant in the mount. Solid horse, second off the layoff. Got a shot at it. The only bomb that I think they could have a chance here is Correctness. Number 6, also for Delcour, with Pratt in the mount. This horse ran in the Florida Oaks. Ran third. Didn't do anything too crazy. That race hasn't turned out to be anything spectacular. So take that as you will. Horse was a $1 million purchase, so has been a bit of a disappointment, earning only $18,000 to this point. And there you have it. The first episode of the trifecta. Hope you find some winners from my picks. Hope you enjoy the format. It should be nice and quick. And I hope to keep this going. You know, I think it's just a cool opportunity to engage with folks. I'm going to try to get it out there on all mediums. So give me some feedback. Again, follow me on Twitter at MHJPicks and online www.mhjpicks.com. Thanks again for listening.